Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live, live on the Fight Mixer Show.
This whole being bad is really, really crazy. My dog.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the everybody.
Welcome to Tuesday's for the Fight Mixer, brought to you by Drink or Protein. Drink as much drink as possible. Also sponsored by Kajuja MMA, great floor in California. If you want to train with a world champion, four-time world champion, excuse me, go down to Kajuja MMA located in Amazonia, California. What's going on, brother? How you doing tonight?
What's up, man? Looks like we got Justin already coming, sexiest man in the game.
Best film director in the fucking game, Justin Sims. Justin, what's going on, brother? How you doing? All right, now people are going to fucking roast me because I had no beard. I decided to start over, start fresh, start from scratch, and now people are going to roast me for the beard. So if you want to roast me for the beard, go down in the comment section. You can roast me. We'll put up all your comments.
Yeah,
Gotcha. So before my mom puts me to bed, you know, you can, once you comment, your comments are going to be featured on Amazon, which we're ranked top 100 in the world on Amazon. So be sure to watch us on Amazon, Roku, and Apple TV. If you want to be part of the fun, comment below and your comments will pop up. Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. Titan 69 tomorrow night. Justin Sims is the director and Toastmaster General of festivities. In the filmmaking department, he'll be doing the directorial stuff for UFC Fight Pass. So make sure to watch Titan 69 on UFC Fight Pass. We have a great show tonight. Mike Trizano is coming on. Sorry, I'm shitty. We already explained that I'm shitty with the last name, so bear with me. Mike Trizano will come on, is coming on later tonight. He just won his fight by unanimous decision at UFC Fight Night. On May 8th, huge win from a long layoff. He is back in the fold. We're going to talk to him about that huge win. I kind of wanted to touch upon some stuff we haven't talked about in a long time. And we haven't – our favorite topic, and somebody actually told me to talk about this, was Jake Paul stealing Floyd Mayweather's hat. I don't know why this motherfucker – everyone just wants to trigger me. Everyone wants to trigger me, get me all hot and bothered and shit by this fucking Disney Channel pussy. But there was a press conference for the Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather contest, which in any era whatsoever, this fight would never ever take place because it's fucking also a YouTube fucking wannabe. So this press conference happens, okay? And Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather doing their shtick. Logan Paul and Jake Paul, they're Conor McGregor wannabes, and they're both fucking losers, so of course they go right into their tirades, talking shit to Floyd Mayweather about domestic violence, talking about all this shit, Floyd Mayweather's training. It's like the watered-down version of the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather press conference. So watered-down, this is like a Diet Coke press conferences. And then at the end, Jake Paul, of course, has to be the center of attention because he's a pussy, goes up to Floyd Mayweather and steals his hat. Big fight breaks out, you get punched in the face, which thank you very much for that, Floyd. Maybe very happy seeing that black eye. And yeah, well, what are your thoughts about that, Matt? We haven't talked about this the last show. I figured we talked about this one.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I don't know what to really say about it. I do know that I know everybody hates him so much, but he is creating a platform for other fighters to come up on. I know one of the BKFC fighters is actually going to be fighting on that card. So it gives him a platform to come over there and shed some light on him. I'm sure he's going to be bombarded with invites for, you know, publicity. So, I mean, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But Justin, just a comment on that. July 2nd, I will be in town. I'll be fighting July 4th for Pancras. So I will absolutely be on the red carpet for Titan FC. Would love to see you, brother. Would love to be on that red carpet. And, yeah, UFC Fight Pass. And make sure 8 p.m. Eastern, make sure tomorrow on Fight Pass you watch Titan. But back on that topic. So upon a further investigation, because, you know, I know a thing or two about a thing or two, and I have some friends in the fight business, so I asked around. You know who Jake Paul's one of his coach or cornermen is, by the way?
Jake Paul. Cornerman.
You know who that is?
I haven't seen that.
Great. So one of his cornermen go by the name of Jay Love. Jay Love is a boxer. Guess who Jake Paul, Jay Love, whatever the fuck his name is, guess who he's associated with? Just guess. Floyd Mayweather.
Don King.
No. Al Heyman, who is also Floyd Mayweather's manager. I'm sure I fucked up that name. If I did, very sorry about that. So Jay Love, there's pictures all over Jay Love's. If you scroll down his Instagram, which is fairly fucking boring. Follow me on Instagram, by the way. I have 11,000 followers. Get on my level. So scroll down Jay Love's Instagram, and you'll notice that his pictures with Floyd. And Jay Love also was a part of the hype tour and one of the training partners of Floyd Mayweather getting ready for the Conor McGregor fight. So Jay Love is associated with Floyd Mayweather and friends and BFFs or whatever. And very, very ironic that Floyd Mayweather and Jake Paul get in this huge fight with Jay Love, who is the cornerman of Jake Paul. And Jay Love was that guy who was also in the press conference who was starting shit with Tyron Woodley, which is one guy you don't want to start shit with. Where's your takedown defense there, Jay Love? You're a boxer. You suck. So, and so Jay Love was in Jake Paul's corner. So I think personally, this is all a fucking staged event. No. I think Floyd Mayweather is in with the Jake Paul sisters, the Paul sisters. And I think just based on that association with Jay Love, and who is buddies and BFFs with Jake Paul, and also buddies with TMT, the money team, and also buddies with Floyd Mayweather's manager, and buddies with Floyd Mayweather, I think there's some fuckery afoot. And I think they're all linked to this and trying to hype this up to the moon and get some viral attention.
It totally could be. I mean, why not? I don't put anything past. We know it's a shit show. That's just what it is. So,
as they continue to rape and pillage the sport of boxing, boxing is on its last fucking leg. There's no coming back from this. There's no coming back. It's going to take years and years to fucking repair the damage the Paul brothers have done to the sport of boxing. They have completely diluted the fucking sport and made it look stupid.
Yeah, it's been in its death throes. And I've been done with boxing since Mayweather-Pacquiao. That was the last fight I truly watched. I did break down and watch the Conor Mayweather thing just out of another freak show curiosity. And then we did watch the Jake Paul thing. Again, another freak show. Other than that, I have very, very little to no interest in boxing. And Mayweather has been at the center of every piece of me not wanting to watch boxing.
Well, that's the problem, too, because the sport of boxing is broken up. All these boxers want to be their own promoters. So there is no governing body. Imagine in the UFC, okay? So UFC is the parent company. And imagine if every single fighter wanted to do Mike Trezano, you know, he's going to be coming on. Imagine Mike Trezano Promotions, and he's got to promote his own fights, and he's going to do main event of every single event. Also, imagine if Tyron Woodley or Usman does Usman Promotions, and now UFC has to be association with boxing. Literally, is fucked. It is completely fucked. There's no governing body. Yeah, the PBC was a good idea for a while. They were on something for a good little while, and they had a good promotion. They have good production value. I think all momentum is dead. I think boxing, the integrity of boxing, has completely been taken away and been replaced with TikTokers and bullshit artists, and not celebrity boxing has taken over. Once a laughing stock of a spectacle, celebrity boxing, where we saw fucking Screech box, God rest his soul, and we saw all these different celebrities box. Now that has become the main attraction, because boxing has become complacent and lazy, refuses to build new stars. Boxers want to get more money, so they become their own promoters. That's why they get paid so much, and that's where the argument between boxers and UFC fighters, that's the reason why boxers get paid so much, is because they're their own promoters. So, yeah, it's a completely dead sport, completely dead. And even the Olympics is corrupt, even Olympic boxing. So that entire sport is
you become your own promoters.
Yeah. There's one nail in the coffin. Thank you, Paul Brothers, for what you've done. Congratulations. Cheers. And now Bare Knuckle Boxing can pick up the pieces and hopefully put them together. And obviously they're on the rise, and I see a lot of old school boxing fans switching over and actually watching Bare Knuckle Boxing. So maybe it's good for everybody. Maybe this is good. This is a good thing. Or Bare Knuckle Boxing, a pure form or a more entertaining form of boxing, can rise up. And, you know, Dave Feldman doesn't fuck around, and obviously he knows how to run a good show and good promotion, and they have some great characters in there. So, you know, maybe Bare Knuckle Boxing can pick up the pieces.
Well, I think it has. I mean, I like I said, I don't care for regular boxing at all, but I'm all in on bare knuckle boxing. I go to pretty much almost every event and love the guests. I love the fighters. All the fighters are down to earth, just good people. Like every one of them I've met.
Right, right, and you know they. Don't necessarily have a platform besides the BKFC app. I think pay-per-view is also a dead entity, considering one. And this is how Trilla is going to die, because Trilla, the Jake Paul fans are all millennials, not millennials, Gen Z people who are used to getting their shit for free and bootlegging and illegal streaming shit. So Trilla is going to die soon too, considering that their target demographic and target market are all fucking pirates. So, and young people. Yeah, so Trilla's gonna die soon anyway, so I don't give a fuck, you know, what they do. Jake Paul can enjoy his 15 minutes of fame, because their target demographic are all people that want shit for free. So good for you, Trilla. Good job. Good marketing, fuckers, fucking losers, all of you. Fuck Trilla. Back on point, Bare Knuckle, I like the fact that Dave Feldman is playing the long game. He has his app. He's building up subscribers. He's all in the business of building up subscribers that are going to pay that $6.99 per month, that are going to continuously pay that $6.99 per month. He's playing the long game. And, you know, I think while it's going to be a slow build, Bare Knuckle just needs that one fight that goes mainstream, goes all over the networks, and, you know, they're going to be in business. They're going to do some good things. They don't need fighters acting like fucking Conor McGregor. They don't need shit-talking. They need that one classic fight like the UFC had with Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner, and then they're going to fucking jump to the mainstream. They need that one fight, just that one fight, that one banging fight that crosses the threshold. That's a Trojan horse for people to explore bare knuckle fighting. That one fight, just one fight. That's all.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And every event is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the next event is going to be four title shots. So, four titles on the line.
Four titles.
In Miami, I'm not quite sure of the reasoning for this. The only thing I can think of is to put as many eyes on the place as possible. And then I'm thinking that there's going to be a big announcement of some kind.
Well, Shaq wants to get.
That's what I'm thinking.
Shaq wants to get fucking in on this.
That's what I'm thinking.
The original big dick band Shaq, and we saw him when we were down in Florida. We saw Shaq. Everyone was going crazy when Shaq entered that fucking building, man. Shaq,
I mean, that's my theory on the whole thing. Is you put the biggest show on, four title shots, and then you announce Shaq, and this is that defining moment, like you're talking about. Doesn't even matter what the fights are about. This, I mean, you know, it doesn't even matter that the fights are going to be, you know, bangers anyway, but you're going to have Shaq being announced, and that's going to be a sports sensation, in my opinion.
I think basketball is a woman's sport, to be honest with you. You know, I think that Michael Jordan, well, you play basketball with one ball, football with one ball, soccer with one ball, but MMA, no holds barred, and fighting takes two balls. So that's my personal assessment. But Michael Jordan and a couple of Kobe Bryant and a couple of those guys, and Shaq is one of them. And this is why I appreciate Shaq. And this is why everyone should be excited about Shaq being involved with bare-knuckle fighting. And I'll break it down for you. Shaq knows combat sports. He loves combat sports. He has an understanding for combat sports. And it goes way, way back. Shaq was involved in WCW. He walked out Hulk Hogan when Hulk Hogan went against Ric Flair. That, you know, and people are laughing. Like, pro wrestling and MMA, whether you like it or not, are so conjoined, it's ridiculous. So don't bag on pro wrestling. Trust me, I can go down and, you know, it'll blow your mind, the facts I can bring up, all the way dating back to the Carney days. No, don't bag on pro wrestling. That's number one. Number two, when Zuffa first purchased the UFC, in the crowd, you can clearly see Shaq as one of the first primary celebrities to be in the crowd for the fights. You saw a couple of guys. You saw Mark Calaway, the Undertaker. You saw George Clooney at the Tito Ortiz vs. Chuck Liddell fight in 2004. But you also saw Shaq at every single fight. Shaq has wanted to be a part of this for a very, very fucking long time. And now that he has a platform and he has this breed, not this breed, this brand that actually has potential to make money, and these cast of characters who are not just entertaining and marketable, but they can fight their dicks off. No offense to the ladies, because the ladies can beat up 90% of the men on this planet. But now you have all these pieces of the puzzle together, and they need money, they need capital, they need working capital to build their brand. Shaq finally found an entrance to get involved into the fight business. And Shaq is a good investor to have because he has a clear, fundamental understanding of mixed martial arts. He's a fan of mixed martial arts. He's a fan of martial arts in general. He was always at the Tyson fights also. Someone just messaged me, don't forget boxing, but he was also at all the Tyson fights. He loves combat sports. And, this is good. This is a good thing. Trust me. Shaq is a good investor, and definitely a good angel investor to be a part of it.
Absolutely, I agree. Go ahead.
This is how we're going to jump the mainstream with Shaq. Shaq is going to be that Trojan horse that we need.
That's what I think. And that's why, like, I can just see the lead up to this being who does four title shots in one event? Other than to make a big announcement, I don't get it. I mean, I know there's, what was it, a couple UFCs ago, there was three.
I think the last time it was done, and I touched upon this event, and obviously, I'm a MMA fucking guru and historian. I believe, all right, I'm not going to use Google for this because it'll be fucking cheating, but UFC victory in Vegas, it was September 2001. Obviously, you know, bad things happened, but this was the second worst thing to happen in America in September 2001 because they had, I believe, four title fights. And it all went to decision. And Tito Ortiz's original opponent was Vitor Belfort. Vitor Belfort backed out of that fight. And then Vladimir Manishenko, the janitor, had to step in. And that fight was so slow and boring. And because they ran over time, because every fight went to a decision, the pay-per-view cut out. So everybody that ordered that event missed the main event. I think it cut off at the third round. But let me check if that is the case, because that's the last time I reckon in the fight business that we had four title fights in one night. Victory in Vegas.
Yeah, so, and that's why I say, you know, if they're doing four, like, for most organizations, I would think you'd spread that out over a year, you know, one title, you know, every quarter you would have a different title fight versus just piling them on one event. It just makes me think that there's something special going to happen at this event.
Well, also you want to stack up. If they're going to make a big announcement from a business standpoint, if you're going to make a big announcement, if you're going to get a lot of media attention, you want all your top stories. And the champions are the poster child. They're the poster child of the brand. So you want everybody who's a champion and all your biggest hitters and your most marketable to be on this card. And it makes sense to stack this card. Let's look at the percentages. How many fights even reach this fucking decision? Not very many, because everyone has fucking with no gloves and everything like that, you know, and if I can just stop just like that, all fights are fucking exciting in the UKFC. They have the formula. So put all your stack the card with all your biggest fucking performers, all your heavy hitters, all your top names, make that big announcement at the end of the show or during the show or before the main event. And then you got NBC and you got ESPN and all these people covering it. They say, oh, well, check out this event. Bam, 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 bam. It's all crazy, son. Like, it makes absolute perfect sense. I think a big announcement. Yeah, you know, it does make perfect sense, actually. You know,
it's got to be. It's got to be.
It's got to be.
And you heard it here first.
Hmm?
And you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Shaq's going to be on. Shaq's going to be announced as an investor.
Shaq's partnering in. I can smell it.
Or they sign a TV deal. Or they sign like a major TV deal. Because that would be another good thing that they can do.
UFC,
yeah. UFC could barely get on network television. They came up with The Ultimate Fighter. That entire concept was developed to get on network television because reality TV shows were all the rage. So they pretty much packaged fighting and violence, which was banned in North America, and John McClain did a number, so it was banned all over the place. So they packaged a reality TV show as an MMA contest and as an MMA tournament. They packaged it, and it worked to a success. It worked to a T, and no one wanted to advertise on the show. So UFC said, okay, you don't want to do that? Well, I'm going to air commercials for Randy Couture versus Chuck Liddell all throughout the broadcast. So I'll buy the commercial space. And it worked out to a T. It was one of the biggest selling pay-per-views of all time at that point. Worked out total fucking success, top to bottom. So I believe Mike Trezano, I believe he might not be coming on tonight. Is that correct, Matt?
Yeah, that's why I've messaged him several times and I've not seen a response from him. Maybe he got it happens. Time zones gets mixed up or something of that nature. So,
yeah, and also you got to realize too, he's also coaching. He's also a head coach and a head instructor at Tiger Sherman.
That's no excuse.
You know.
This is the fight mixer. This is his opportunity.
Shit happens, man. Shit happens, brother. But what else is I think we got like 5 more minutes left in us, right, Matt? We're 10?
Yeah, sure. Sure, why not?
What's going on in UFC? Anything you want to talk about?
See my new shirt?
I dig it. I dig it.
UFC. Let me think. I seen I can't really think of much going on right now. Have you seen much going on?
Yeah, but I'm not sure I care about. I mean, yeah, you got to realize too, like, you know, I'm a busy guy myself and I have a lot of shit going on and everything like that. So, you know, if it's big events, like, you know, fight nights, obviously I'll watch when I have a chance and everything. And if it's a big card, I'll definitely pay attention to it. But I can't watch every single event. There's Bellator events, there's 1XC, there's the market has become completely oversaturated that I can't keep up with it. This is another thing where BKFC can take the advantage because the market is not oversaturated. There are one of the primary players in an open market, but MMA I can't keep up with. You know, there's so much shit going on. You know, it's very hard to land on my radar. With all the fights that they
how many fighters does UFC have now?
All of them? I mean, fuck, man. The roster is completely filled, top to bottom, every single weight class. You know, I can't keep up with every single fucking fighter. You know, there's no secret to MMA journalism and running an MMA TV show. Guest comes on, I research before they come on. I get caught up like, oh yeah, I remember that, but I can't keep up with every fucking fight. I can't. I'm a, you know, I work
I was really hoping to get Mike on. I wanted to ask him about his record. I mean, he's like 10-1.
Nine and one.
I thought it was 10-1.
9-1.
You sure?
Matt, I'm not even sure. I'm HIV positive. Wait. All right, let me double check because now you're questioning me.
Let me see here.
Oh, 10-1. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Boom! Wow, I beat the interim.
He was 9-1. He was 9-1. Long layoff, and then he won a unanimous decision this past weekend.
And I really wanted to see his American cowboy hat.
And probably the greatest mullet of all time, by the way.
I think he got rid of it, though, didn't he?
Did he get rid of it?
No. I thought the last fight he didn't have it. But
you dirty liar.
I could be wrong.
I thought his fight with Luis Pena was outstanding. He won by a split decision. Luis Pena, who is known as the Violent Bob Ross, which is quite possibly the greatest nickname in all of mixed martial arts.
Yes, and I need to hear him as well.
And Luis Pena is a great guy, so shout out to him. But they fought a fucking banger for decision. Yeah.
I definitely like his nickname's hilarious.
Violent Bob Ross? Shit. Bob Ross, I used to watch as a kid, would make me fall asleep because I was such a high-strung kid. What are you looking at?
He actually says he's available, I think.
Oh, he's available. Cool. Awesome.
He said he got caught up with teaching, so I think you were correct.
Who called it?
What's it? You did.
Duh.
I mean, I did know at least his record, so. Hey, you know, I got to take a win when I can win one because, you are the combat encyclopedia.
Thank you, sir. Let him know. Hey, there he is.
Hey, brother, apologize.
I'm a New Jersey resident too. So obviously, like, you know, us New Jersey guys got to stick together. But I called it because you're an instructor at Tiger Showman's, still in Prince, New Jersey, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'm just teaching a class right now.
Awesome. And by the way, congratulations on a huge victory on May 8th. Big unanimous decision victory. How are you feeling after that fight?
Oh, I feel amazing, man. It was I love being the underdog. They were really overlooking me. I think they thought I was going to get mopped across the canvas with that guy, but they just forgot who I am, man.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Let them know, Mike.
Jersey strong,
baby. And you're coming off a long layoff. How did it feel getting back into the ring after such a long layoff?
I felt like I never left, man. I've been putting so many hours in the gym, just training with some legit savages. And honestly, it was like I had no rust, nothing, because I've been training my butt off for the last 2 years, just working for that moment. And I finally made it back, and, man, it felt good.
And this ain't your first rodeo. I mean, you're Ring of Combat. Shout out to Lou Naglia, by the way. Ring of Combat champion, Maverick MMA champion. This ain't your first rodeo. You were training since 17. So, you know, obviously I grew up in New Jersey too. So we grew up in pretty much the same landscape. How did you get involved in mixed martial arts at such an age?
So one of my buddies from high school, his mom was training at Tiger Showman's just to work out and get in shape. And he told me, he's like, oh, they got a great fight team. You should come check it out. And so I took a trial class, and I was like dead tired in like 10 seconds. And as soon as I did that, I was hooked, man. It was just a feeling that I just loved it. And just fighting's in my DNA, man. I loved every second of it and haven't stopped since.
Yeah, man. And Danny Showman, by the way, is one of the baddest mofos on the planet. He opened up schools, I think it was 1985 or 1984. And yes. I do commentating for ECF, and that show, that fight platform is the Tiger Showman School show. Like, it's all savages that fight from Tiger Showman's. I never met, and you never met someone that isn't a bad mofo that comes from the Tiger Showman system. I mean, what's the secret sauce? Like, especially as an instructor, what are you guys teaching over there? What are you guys putting in the board ball? What's going on there?
We're just pure American steel, baby. We're just animals. We train harder than anybody else on the planet. Honestly, like the room in when we have fight team training is just one of the toughest rooms out there. And anybody that's come and train with us knows that, like, it's tough from the up and coming amateurs to all the way up to the highest level pros. Nobody's going to be easy work. Everybody's tough as nails, man. And it's just, we're all getting each other better and we're all just improving, and it's showing. All our hard work is showing. I mean, we had a bunch of amateurs fight down in Florida a few weeks ago, and for sure. We had three guys fight. We went 3-0, and you know, sky's the limit, man. We're just, the room's electric right now. I mean, I just bought Shane's fighting this weekend. We got Julio just got matched up. It's awesome. I can't wait to get back and just keep training again. It's addicting.
Right. And your past opponent too, and just to put it in perspective, even after a long layoff, you were a fighting guy who was undefeated. Obviously, you were an underdog going into the fight. Three rounds. I had it 3-0. You completely you won this fight, and you're sliding right up to the rankings and back in business. So what's next for you? When are you gonna fight again? Who's in your on your radar?
I mean, I don't got anybody on my radar. I really don't care. I'll fight anybody, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm gonna talk to my manager either tomorrow or the next day, and kind of just game plan for the rest of the year. We'll see what happens. I'm feeling good. I'm a little banged up, but nothing serious. You know, just the typical post-fight bruises, and that's pretty much it.
Fuck yeah, man. And you want to fight two more times this year, or what are we talking about? Or you want to just keep it active?
If I could get a couple more fights in by the end of the year, that'd be awesome. Hopefully stuff starts to open up more. You know, again, still on my bucket list, man. I want to fight at MSG. That's my goal. I could literally get like 1,000 people there easy.
Fuck yeah, man. And us New Jersey people, like, we stick together, obviously. And obviously,
hell yeah.
Disclosure, this is going to be a complete fluff piece. So this is going to be layup questions all night long. So trust me.
Keep it coming, man.
So, and you know what? I want the fight scene to come back to New Jersey and everything like that. Florida is doing a great job with bringing back mixed martial arts. And obviously, UFC, with that big event with Usman, just showed that they can safely put it on an event. Like, how do you ballpark it, or how do you see, because you have ECF, who's obviously doing events in June, July. Triton's going to be coming back. Ring of Combat's also doing an event in July. Like, do you foresee the UFC? Did they give you a heads up when the UFC is going to come back to New Jersey, New York? Do you have the inside knowledge?
I don't, but I know for a fact that I wouldn't see the UFC coming back somewhere unless they can go full capacity, because otherwise it's like not worth it to them. They might as well just have it at the apex and just keep doing what they're doing, or going back to Texas a bunch of times, Florida a bunch of times. You know, whoever's fully open, there's no restrictions, because otherwise it's not worth it to them. You know, I don't know what the deal is with like Jersey and like the indoor seating in like arenas right now, but if they make it full capacity, come back to Prudential, I'd love to go there too.
Dude, that'd be fucking sick, man.
Hell yeah.
Dude, I saw, I think it was Kobe Covington fighting Robbie Lawler. And, you know, we had the seats and everything like that, electric. Yeah,
I was at that fight because I think I was at that fight. I don't remember. I think I had one. I think Jimmy Rivera was fighting on that card too.
Yeah. Jimmy Rivera.
Might have been. Because I remember I had a box seats, because my fiance, the company she was working for, they gave tickets. They had their own box. So we got box seats and everything. It was awesome.
Oh, cool, man. Fuck yeah. And so yeah, we were coming on the show a little bit late. So obviously, you know, I'll get you back to your gym, and obviously, you know, get you back to work, and you know, you're coming back from you train kids and everything. So you're training folks out of Paramus, New Jersey. Gym's open, full capacity. Everyone can come in and train with the champ, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of just how the people feel comfortable. You know, I don't for me, I mean, I stopped wearing masks months ago. So honestly, it's really up to every person individually. You know, if they feel comfortable wearing a mask, they want to work out and wear a mask, that's on them. But I mean, you're not technically supposed to wear a mask when you're doing a high intensity workout. So that's on them, but we're fully open and that's it. Yeah. Come in and train, man.
So where can we find you on social media? Where can we find you? Where can we follow you? Obviously we want to make sure that we stay up if you're going to be, when you're going to be fighting next. So where can we find you on social media, man?
Yeah. The Lone Wolf MMA on Instagram, Twitter, Mike, the Lone Wolf Trezano on Facebook, and yeah, follow me. Big things gonna be happening.
Fuck yeah, brother. All right, thank you so much, Mike, for taking some time out. I know you were instructing. I know you rushed back on here. I really do appreciate you coming on, brother, and so we can hype you up and talk you to the moon. So thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, anytime, you let me know.
Fuck yeah, brother.
All right, man. Take it easy, guys.
You too. Bye. Fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, he's.
I told really you. So Tiger Shulman's, and you know, I've encountered quite a bit of Tiger Shulman folk. You know, they're perfectionists, especially with coaching, with fighting, with training. So when you said 8:30, I said, he'll probably be, you know, with students, and he'll probably be helping afterwards. And I, you know, that might be a long shot. And I was thinking that in the back of my head, and yeah, I'm glad he still was able to come on so we can hype him up. And obviously, coming after coming off a huge win, so. Really appreciate him coming on. Awesome.
Yep. And before we let everybody go,
Dringer protein, baby.
Drink some Dringer. This isn't the protein. This is actually the blue raspberry or the blueberry pre workout, and it's fantastic. Doesn't give you a crash. If you're looking for a good pre workout, we also have testosterone boosters and protein and all sorts of stuff. So DringerNutrition.com. That's Dringer without an E.
And what's going on with Dope Champ? Are they coming out with some nice products or other stuff?
We haven't done anything as far as Dope Champ. We haven't got it off the ground yet. There's supposed to be some regulations on vaping that we haven't kind of letting the industry figure out what's going on with there before I fully put my foot in it. So
fair enough, man. Fair enough.
But we do have another sponsor.
Kaijuja MMA and Fitness, located in Tarzana, California. I don't know why I said the address wrong. I apologize, but 18851 Ventura Boulevard, Tarzana, California. You want to train with a four-time world champion, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. Great group of guys over there. Train with Mr. Gabe, one of our co-hosts. Go over to Kaijuja MMA and Fitness, Tarzana, California, excuse me.
If you've ever felt like you've had a really easy life and just want your ass kicked, go there.
Absolutely. When we go back to California, I'm going to get my ass kicked again. I'm gonna hop into a gym. Come back into a gym. So.
Yeah, I think we even got an invite down to Texas to train with Sean.
No fucking way. And by the way, so Sean, the actor, obviously he was on our show. He was in you know, what was that little movie called? Boondock Saints. He was on Dexter. He was so nice to come on the show and give us so much time. Wrapped up his movie. When you're done watching this on Amazon, definitely watch the movie Born a Champion. Fucking amazing. Shed a tear. I don't really cry during movies. I'm not one of those crier guys, but.
Did you cry or did you almost cry?
It was pretty close, my friend. It was pretty close. When it comes to MMA and boxing movies, because like I've trained, I've been there, I've fought. So like when it comes to
or done any of that, but when it comes to just good movies, especially involving kids, like I don't know, man, I get all choked up.
And the setting too, it's the glory days. I always talk about the glory days of mixed martial arts. It's set at the glory days. Like the Middle East was so fucking important to the fight scene, to the fight game, with Abu Dhabi, ADCC, which, you know, we saw the greats like Gabe's favorite fighter, Tito Ortiz. He actually rolled and he actually did a match with Matt Hughes. We saw Antonio Nogueira going against Rico Rodriguez, which is one of my favorite Abu Dhabi submission fights. You know, we saw greats like Eddie Bravo, the Gracies. Right? All these great fighters came out of Abu Dhabi, the Submission Grappling World Championships. And that was the first real world championships in submission grappling. And the Middle East has been so important to the fight game that people don't even know it. But, you know, the fight is set there. That's the setting. In these,
yeah, I really, you know, I didn't really know all that. And then when I watched the movie, I was like, wow, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And I always, and everyone knows how appreciative I am of Gabe and his generation for help building the sport. That this is the time frame that's based out of where all those guys were fighting, not for Instagram followers like this pussy Jake Paul, not for, you know, followers and not for clicks and everything like that. They were fighting because they were competitors, because they wanted to compete and prove to themselves that they were the best. That's why I have such an appreciation for this movie. So after you're done watching this on Amazon, definitely go over. I believe it's only like $10, $19.99, whatever. I think I got a discount because I got it like that.
I mean, you don't even have to buy it. You can rent it, I think, for $6.
Right. So you can rent it, and it's a great movie. We're Born a Champion on Amazon, and we definitely got to go down to Texas to train with the actor, the star of the film, and also the writer of the film. And he wrote a great movie. It was a great fucking movie. And one of the best MMA movies I've seen. And I've seen quite shit when it comes to MMA films.
And literally, you know, over the past year, there hasn't been a lot of good movies, but this is definitely one of them.
Fucking amazing, man.
I really enjoyed it, and there was no wokeness to it, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I want to watch an MMA flick, and I really want to turn my brain off. And like, I'm like, I hope politics aren't involved.
Exactly. It wasn't.
With all sports, with all movies, I just want to turn my brain off for 2 hours, not think about my problems, not think about the world or anything like that, and I want to actually enjoy fucking a movie and enjoy some entertainment. And there was no political agenda. There was nothing. It was just good based on the history of mixed martial arts and part of Gabe's generation, this was a love letter to Gabe's generation. So it was a great fucking movie. 5 out of 5 stars.
Did you get to see the end credits?
No, I didn't see that yet. No,
I didn't either. It was not available to me when I went to go rewatch it. So
you didn't spend an extra $6? Why not?
$6 is $6, bro.
So we're gonna wrap up this show like a Christmas present. Thank you very much, Mike, for coming on. Obviously we couldn't get him at the start of the show. And obviously he's a dedicated trainer. He's as dedicated of a fighter as he is as a trainer. So definitely catch him if you want to train with him. Go down to Tiger Schulman's. Paramus, New Jersey is actually, I grew up in Emerson, New Jersey. Paramus, New Jersey, for all my New Jersey residents and all my bros and hoes in different area codes in New Jersey, you can go down to Paramus, New Jersey. Yeah, kids, drop them off by him. He's a great instructor, and he's also a great MMA fighter. 10-1, you can't compare to that. I mean, that's a huge record, especially in a very competitive featherweight division. So thank you very much for Mike Trezano for coming on the show. I'm gonna learn last names. I'm really bad with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, from the Fight Mixer, we thank you very much for coming on and watching on the program. Tune in next week, tune in Sunday for a very most anticipated show. You have, you want that ad, please?
What's that? Paul Tyler is coming on, and Jules Gray from Bare Knuckle Management.
Got it. So, Tyler. Yeah. I'm probably going to hop on that show because I have a lot of questions. So, I'm very, very excited about that show, Matt.
Excellent.
Very excited. I hope everyone's excited too because I got some questions. What are they known for, by the way? Like, just refresh my memory.
They mainly have bare knuckle fighters that they manage.
Ah, okay.
Management company for bare knuckle fighters.
their management company. And they're embroiled in a little bit of controversy. Is that correct?
A little bit. People are hating on them because they sign a lot of people.
Sign a lot of people? Got it. And Boss Rutan, my friend, something was going on between them. Is that correct, or what happened?
Perfect.